About 18 years ago, Shelley and I were in a little town on the coast of Maine. It was actually called York, Maine. And we found this little antique shop, and we were looking at this little antique shop, very small. I mean, it was just the size of a couple of rooms. And they had little, you know, china and all kinds of things that you find in antique shops. And as we were in there, there was a couple talking to the man behind the counter, and they were looking at a set of teacups. And there were only three in the set. And the woman who was looking at them said to her husband, she said, "I really like this set, but that's kind of strange, there's only three." She said, "Maybe he has another one, you know, to make it an even number. Maybe he has the other one in the back somewhere." And so she asked the man, it was a small store, so everybody could kind of hear the conversation. She said, "I'd really like this set of teacups and saucers. Do you have the other one? There's only three." And he said, "No, I don't." And he said, "The strangest thing," he said, "Paul Newman was in here about an hour ago, and he bought one of them." And immediately, the 15 other people in the store look over, and they all kind of gravitate to this guy. All of a sudden, everybody wants to be this guy's friend because he knows Paul Newman. And so the lady said, "So Paul Newman, as in like the actor salad dressing guy, Paul Newman?" And he said, "Yeah." He said he has a summer home here. He comes in here all the time and he buys little knickknacks. And so then all of a sudden, you know, everybody in the store seems really interested, you know, in this guy and his store because Paul Newman comes in there sometime. And it made me realize the significance that names carry. You know, if the man had said, "Well, Dale Bittner was in here a little while ago. He bought the last one." You know, nobody would have even flinched, right? nobody would have even looked. But a name that carries some type of significance gets our attention. And that's because when you're talking about a person's name, you're talking about their reputation. All tied up in a person's name is their character. Good or bad. I mean, if I were to throw out names such as O.J. Simpson or John Wayne Gacy, those are names that kind of make us cringe a little because we have not so good memories tied up with those names. You know, it's interesting that the first request in the Lord's Prayer is, "Hallowed be thy name." We're in a series now looking at the Lord's Prayer, phrase by phrase. And the first actual request that we pray is that God's name would be honored. And it's an interesting thing. It's a very prominent theme in the Bible. And it's because God's name is a big deal in the Bible. It represents who he is and what he is like. And so this is essentially a prayer that God would be famous in our lives, that his character would be honored in our lives. And so the question is, how do we do that? How do we hallow God's name? And that's the question I want to look at today. Now, in this series, we're just looking at just a few verses each week, so we can really kind of focus in on each theme. And these verses that Cliff just read tell us that we hallow God's name in three ways. We hallow his name through selfless worship, joyful trust, and a humble service. Okay, so how do we hallow God's name? Selfless worship, selfless worship, joyful trust, and humble service. So let's look first of all, selfless worship. Now, our call to worship this morning was Psalm 29, and that was for a reason. It's because Psalm 29 is the psalm which says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." The glory due his name. Now, glory in the Bible is an interesting word, and it literally means it portrays the image of something being heavy, something having a lot of weight to it, something that matters. And so worship is about ascribing to God all of the wonderful things that His name carries with it. In other words, worship is not about us. It's not about what we can get out of it. It's not about how it makes us feel so much. It's simply about telling God how great He is. Now, I once had a person say to me, well, that, you know, that kind of seems like God is kind of an egomaniac. I mean, you know, I said, is God's self-esteem that low that He needs everybody all over the world to gather once a week and just tell Him how great He is? And the answer is no. God is content within Himself. But He tells us to ascribe glory to His name, because it's in doing that that we become less self-absorbed. We can be very self-absorbed people, right? And so God knows that it's good for us to give glory to His name. Now, in doing that, yes, we get something out of it. Yes, it makes us feel good. It's not denying all of that. But it's simply a reminder that we come to worship God to give glory to His name. So, that's the first way we hallow God's name, through selfless worship. Now, there's a second way we give glory, we hallow God's name, and that's through joyful trust. Psalm 33, the first psalm that Cliff read, says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name." I love this because verse 20 comes after the psalmist in verses 17 through 19 saying that war has broken out upon them, that the nations are frustrated, that there's great turmoil in the world, and yet they say, yet we're so glad and we're rejoicing because we trust in His holy name. And the reason they could do that is because, as the psalm goes on to say, in verse 21, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, is upon us." And so when we hear God's name, we can trust in His name, because His name is associated with steadfast love. That means unceasing love. So we hallow God's name through selfless worship, through joyful trust, and finally, through humble service. Now, this is probably the most important point. Psalm 115, the second psalm that Cliff read. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, for the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Not to us, but to Your name give glory, O Lord." This psalm is of great importance to me, because my friend and mentor, Terry Traylor, preached this psalm at my ordination just over 15 years ago. And he preached on this psalm, and when he called me the week before, as our secretary was getting the bulletin together, he said he was going to preach on Psalm 115. And I read it, and I thought, well, what does that have to do with being ordained as a minister? And he got up and he read these words, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory." And he began his sermon by looking at me and saying, "Dale, ministry is not about you." And I remember thinking, come on, you know, this is a sermon here, you know. And the truth is, I kind of wanted the new congregation I had to think that it was kind of about me, right? I mean, we want to think, well, it's kind of about me. Right? But, you know, the truth is, he was right. And when you look at the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, this is a very interesting story, where all the people on the earth get together, and they say, let's build this tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can get to God and so that we can make a name for ourselves. And, of course, God wouldn't have it, and He destroyed their efforts and He scattered them over the face of the earth. But you know, that story speaks to the natural tendency of our hearts to make a name for ourselves. I mean, I want people, when they hear my name, to think, oh, what a nice guy. Right? And you know, that's partially okay, I suppose, but at the same time, it's not about us. And so we come up with all kinds of ways that we try to sound spiritual by making it sound like we're taking attention off of ourselves, and we're really not. I remember when I was in seminary, and the first preaching class I took, and preaching classes are so humiliating because you have to get up and preach to other students and other professors, and you get critiqued, and they sit down and they go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And I remember one particular guy who preached a sermon, and then he sat down, and the professor, Dr. Wayne McDill, he said, brother, he said, that was a good sermon. And the student responded by saying, well, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And the professor said, it wasn't that good. You know, we often do that. But the truth is, it's really not about us, right? It's really not about us. You know, one of the top movies when I was probably about Janice's age, fifth grade, somewhere around there, sixth grade, okay. And it was a movie called Footloose, okay, with Kevin Bacon. And, long story where dancing had been banned in the community, and yet he was this dancer. And there's all these scenes of him doing these absolutely amazing dances. And Kevin Bacon told a story a few years ago about how the first time that he showed the movie to his kids. And afterwards, his son said to him, Dad, show me that part where you slid down the banister of the stairs and then did like a cartwheel at the end. And he said, well, that actually wasn't me. That was a stunt double. So I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And he said, oh, well, but you know the part where you're going through the warehouse and you're doing flips and you're dancing and you're swinging things around? And he goes, yeah, that was a stunt double. I watched it, but it wasn't me. I didn't do any of that. And he said, well, but at least the part, you know, like where they're showing your feet and you're kicking up dust because you're doing all of these spins on your toes. And he said, no, that was a stunt double too. That was someone else's feet. And his son said, Dad, what did you do in this movie? And he said, well, not much, but I was given all the glory. And you know, there's a sense in which it's sort of like that in our lives when it comes to Jesus. Yes, it's okay to acknowledge that the good things that we do come from Him. But it's not so that we will get the glory. It's so that the one who perfectly lives life without sin gets the glory, and that's Jesus. You see, what Jesus did he was not only die the death that we should have died, he also lived the life that we should have lived and, in a sense, gave us the credit for it. You know, he lived a perfect life on the earth and yet put his name upon us. So that if you are a baptized Christian, God looks at you and he sees the things that his son Jesus Christ has done, because his name is upon you. And so to hallow God's name is important. And we do that through selfless worship by giving God the glory. We do that through joyful trust by knowing that even though war break out, as the psalmist says, we can be glad and trust in his holy name. And we do it thirdly through humble service, through living our lives in humility and giving all of the honor to God. I guess that's my cue. Or unless this is like the gong show. I don't know. But thanks be to God for giving us the privilege of living with his name upon us, and for having the privilege to ask that his name would be hallowed, not only in our lives, but throughout the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word and upon the hearing of your word. We ask that you would fill our lives with your spirit, that we would be glad and rejoice and trust and worship your holy name. And we pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.